JC2S, Part 2. Number 9B.
So out of that restructuring, then life is always bringing to us out of the self-existent being. Therefore, we see spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately as a surprise of life. Always on the Christian Science level, then come, as I said, newness, that which is leading us along the way, that which enables us to discover the way, that which is, exalts us above the mortal concept. Always that pioneering spirit. And we'll see, in order to grasp the subject of a new theology, we need that pioneering spirit to go forward. When we look at this term theology, first of all, in its prefix, we know then that theo just is the Greek for God, and the suffix of ology really has different meanings. It can come from the Greek meaning logos, word, reason, speech, account. Merriam-Webster gives the suffix of ology as the study of God and his relation to man in the world. Or I like the one from American Heritage Dictionary that the suffix L-O-G-Y means the discourse or expression. That I like because really that's what's being brought out here, that this theology is God in expression. Actually, it's the workings of God, the workings of principle, the working of that science of God is now at work in life. And that's this sense of theology. And if we go on to the next point, we see then that theology, that God life, that science has life, meaning that principle or science is always new. It's always evolving. Science has within itself life. As we know now, that the scientists don't give science life. Science has within itself its own inner acceleration. Mrs. Eddy already said that when she said, stately science pauses not. That is saying science has life. That's actually a tone here, huh? Showing that, and as we know, that example that Max has given us about in the Max Planck Institute in Germany, where they asked the scientists where science would be going in 5 years, and the scientists wrote down where they thought science would be going. Then in 5 years, they read what the scientists had said, and I believe he said that none of them had it right. Therefore, they felt that it was showing that scientists don't determine the life of a science. And then they came out in their own words as saying, well, that science has within itself its own inner acceleration, say its own inner life. And then they said, science has within itself its own inner truth. And science has within itself its own inner goal-directedness. So do we see? Can we hear? Science has within itself its own inner life, its own inner acceleration, that the scientists don't make science go forward. That's that whole Christ sense of cybernetic sense. It goes forward by itself. So science has life, therefore it's always evolving, always progressing. And therefore that science which is life is the new theology, that principle that lives in our life, that is always new. So when we, at the point of life, turn back to that principle and allow that principle to live in our life, that's theology. And that, therefore, in this chapter, handles the belief of a dead theology, a theology which is based on dead ceremonies, dead doctrines, dead rituals, dead words. It goes against that sense of a religion that always wants to bind us back to read again, because you see, this subject is heading us toward the 7,000-year period, we see, which heads us toward the 8,000-year period, where we're no longer going to be bound back to reading texts. We're no longer having to be bound back to read the Bible again and again. And that we won't have to be bound back to read science and health again and again for infinity. We will see there that these textbooks close, and that the structure of it comes in the 7,000-year period with the model of being. And so not to shock us, Mrs. Eddy says, well, it's not the books that we need to reread again and reread again, but it's the structure of the books that live in our consciousness, that principle behind the books, that principle that we've seen reduced to science, reduced to the seven synonymous terms for God and their fourfold operation on the different levels of consciousness. That is true theology. And therefore, that is what will continue to live in our life when we go beyond books. When we go through science and past science into being itself, when it's no longer such that man has to teach man, but we have a consciousness of the living principle love, a consciousness of the real living theology. So, and she shows then that this principle that has life, this living principle consciousness within us, the true theology, has Christ's power to heal. That's where we see then that religion heals, that Christianity heals. It's a consciousness of the living principle love that heals. A consciousness that allows that Christ power to come always new in our life, always expressing itself anew. So with this tonality now of the true living theology, which is now going to go against a dead theology, we come then to the working with the epitomes, and we'll come now to the point, again, to remember that we're keeping these three big points always in view. How can we work with the epitomes of a textbook? First, we're going to ourselves work from the whole to the part by the aid of the work that Max has given us in his epitome book. So point one, we're going to ask what categories are indicated through these epitomes. So as we come to theology and we come to life, we read the epitome there, that we come to it now and read the epitome that says in the epitome book. So we turn now to our epitome book, to the theology section, and we say, oh yes, I'm going to see that the main tone of life in this chapter is that the one life lifts theology from a dead to a living, practical Christianity. So we say to ourselves, what are the life tones there? Don't we? So we say, all right, in our homework, we're beginning to see the one life. Well, that's life, isn't it? So we can color that with our color life. And it says it lifts. What lifts? Does life lift? Yes? Because why? Life exalts. So life lifts, that's also a tone of life, isn't it? Because life exalts. Theology is a tone of life. It's a living principle love, so there's another life tone. From a dead, what's that? Opposite of life. Now, when we have something like an opposite of a synonymous terms, some students use little squiggly lines to mean it's the opposite, or I often use broken lines to mean it's the opposite of life. So if one is saying that giving life in its positive tone, often that we often just draw a straight line to say it's positive, and that which counterfeits life like dead, we put in broken lines, or if you want, in a squiggly line. So that one life lifts theology, there's all the life tone, from a dead, that's the opposite of life, to a living life, huh? Practical is a practical life Christianity tone. It's a Christianity tone, it's practical, it's living, it's practical theology. Well, it's basically all in a life tone. Except they're giving in its positive and that which tries to counterfeit it from a dead theology, showing that the one life lifts a dead theology back into a living, practical theology. Because Christianity just stands there for theology. So we hear the life tone as it is in its positive and counterfeit sense. Then we come to life is mind, and we color mind in our color mind. And when we go now and say, what are the categories indicated through this epitome? We say, okay, the Christ Spirit. What does the Christ Spirit stand for here? What'd we say?
Life.
And we would say, because why? Because it's a sense that when we're talking about the one life that lifts, that therefore it's not a wordy sense, it's not the sense that it's the Christ necessarily. It is the Christ. You have a blending of the Christ as life here. The Christ Spirit is always, of course, that first translation. You get blendings. That's why it's a subject that blends. But yes, the Christ Spirit always has a sense of the first translation that comes to us. But right here, the place value is mainly that one life that lifts is the Christ Spirit. That life power, Max could have said too. He could have said the Christ Spirit or that life power that lifts. So the Christ Spirit is revealed. What reveals? Science reveals. Science as the Christ, huh? Christ science. Science as the Christ. The reason that science reveals is it has that first translation behind it. See, science really, because it is that tool of the Christ. It's that saving science. Because that science comes to us. It's because that it's a Christ science, that Christ which brings science to us. So it has a Christ tone and science tone, yes, because here it's a Christ science. So the Christ, accent on Christ, science is revealed. So I put it under the tone of the Christ because it's the Christ which is the modus operandi behind science revealing. And it's revealed only to the receptive thought. Mind, huh? Thought, thinking is mind, and therefore this is receptive thought. It's an open thought. That's where we have mind, don't we? So we color that in our mind tone. All right. Now we've fulfilled the first part quite nicely of what categories are indicated through these epitomes. Now we want to do point two. How does the text express these categories? So we go to the textbook and we say, all right, let us read what the textbook has to say. And first of all, we'll just read it through quickly. That's always the method of text interpretation, is to read it through, get the overall tonality, then we'll come back and mark the text. All right, so life is mind. It goes now, just to listen, from page 131 to 133.18. So we take the text together and read it through quickly. There's quite a bit here, but it isn't that much that we can't read it in one go. If we went over many, many pages, we would just perhaps do just some of it in the class. But let's take the whole tonality of it and listen to the main theme, and then we'll come in and mark it. Here, if we can hear life is mine, that one life lifts a dead theology into a living practical theology by that Christ Spirit being revealed only to the receptive thought. She says, must Christian science come through the Christian churches, as some persons insist? She says, this science has come already, after the manner of God's appointing. But the churches seem not ready to receive it, according to the scriptural saying, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus once said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. As aforetime, the Spirit of the Christ, which taketh away the ceremonies and doctrines of men, is not accepted until the hearts of men are made ready for it. The mission of Jesus confirmed prophecy and explained this so-called miracle of olden time as natural demonstrations of the divine power, demonstrations which were not understood. Jesus' work established his claim to the Messiahship. In reply to John's inquiry, "Art thou he that should come?" Jesus returned an affirmative reply, recounting his works instead of referring to his doctrine, confident that this exhibition of divine power to heal would fully answer the question. Hence his reply, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see, that the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the leopards are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." In other words, he gave his benediction to anyone who should not deny that such effects coming from divine mind prove the unity of God, the divine principle which brings out all harmony. The Pharisees of old thrust the spiritual idea and the man who lived it out of their synagogues and retained their materialistic belief about God. Jesus' system of healing received no aid nor approval from other sanitary or religious systems, from doctrines of physics or of divinity, and it has not yet been generally accepted. Today, as of yore, unconscious of the reappearing of the spiritual idea, blind belief shuts the door upon it and condemns the cure of the sick and the sinning if it is wrought on any but a material and doctrinal theory. Anticipating this rejection of idealism, of the true idea of God, this salvation from all error, physical and mental, Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" Did the doctrines of John the Baptist confer healing power upon him or endow him with the truest concept of the Christ? This righteous preacher once pointed his disciples to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Yet afterwards he seriously questions the sign of the messianic appearing and sent the inquirer to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come?" Was John's faith greater than that of a Samaritan woman who said, "Is not this the Christ?" There was also a certain centurion whose faith Jesus himself declared, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." In Egypt it was mind which saved the Israelites from the belief in the plague. In the wilderness, streams flowed from the rock and manna fell from the sky. The Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent and straightway believed that they were healed of the poisonous stings of vipers. And national prosperity miracles attended the success of the Hebrews. But when they departed from the true idea, their demoralization began. Even in captivity among foreign nations, the divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. Do we hear life is mind? That life spirit is revealed only to the receptive thought and not to those that reject that spirit? You heard that which was receptive and that which was not receptive. It was quite, the overall tone was there. So if one reads it through quickly, one hears the tonality. It's very clear. So now let's go back and see if we can mark the text on page 131. And this is where we begin to go at it a little slower. All right. Must. What's that? All right. The Christ's truth. We heard that already in our last class where Mrs. Eddy, whenever she says it must be wrought out in life practice, it will be wrought out in life practice, that was always the Christ, because the Christ makes the world do it. So we would color that in our Christ color, wouldn't we? Must Christian Science? Well, science, we could color that in our science tone there, because that's that science of God, that principle of God that has gone before. So she's asking, must that science, which we've just talked about, come through the Christian churches, as some people insist? Come, life, huh? Through what channel? But Christ? The Christian churches? Well, we're beginning to wonder if she's going to mean that's positive or negative. Are we going to put a broken line there or a straight line?
Broken.
Broken, because in our reading we heard it didn't come through the churches, did it, Richard? It's not coming through it, which she means old theology. So we already heard that she was using the old theology, the Christian churches, as old theology, so we'd put a broken tone of life under churches. As some persons, people is the opposite of principle, insist. Mind, because it's a... Why is insist a mind tone? Will. A person's will, huh? So she's saying there must Christian Science come through any other channel. What channel is it going to come through? Is it going to come through the channel of the churches as people insist? See, the opposite of principle. Already you hear her saying, indicating, well, this science has come already after the manner of God's appointing. See, saying it's not dependent on persons. Even though persons insist that this science has to come through the churches, because it's a spiritual science, a living principle love. She says, regardless of personality, this principle takes no personality into consideration. That principle is imperative. It cannot be mocked by human will. So she says, this science is going to come through its own channels, through the channels of the Christ, and not through the channels that people think it's going to come through. And then she says it's not even going to come through the channels that the people think it's going to come to, which would be the churches. But she says the science has already come. Science, tonality of underline it in principle, has come is life, huh? It's already has come. It has that life sense with the Christ always impelling that life. You'll hear so much in this life tone when it says has come. Well, the Christ has brought it. It has come. The Christ has brought that life. And it has come after the manner of the Christ's appointing. See, that has that tonality of the Christ. The science or principle has come through that Christ's power, which appears as the life power. So has come could have both the life color and the Christ color. I don't often do that. If I don't have it down, don't be concerned, because I may just have put one tone, but it's, you can hear multiple tones here. So this science has come already according to the Christ, using that life power, which is after the manner of the Christ's appointing, that would have the tonality of the Christ. But the churches, there's that opposite of life, seem not ready to receive it, is a tone of the opposite of mind, the unreceptive thought. The unreceptive thought was not ready to receive it. So not ready to receive it, we would just color in a broken line of mind. And then she says, the scripture says, he came. Well, that's that same has come. The Christ, using that life power, says that he came unto his own. That's into the churches. I could have colored unto his own, meaning a broken sense of life. He came to the churches. And his own, the churches, received him not. They were not receptive. They didn't have an open thought, the opposite of mind. So we're already building up the tonality. Oh, yes, my goodness. Must Christian Science come through the churches? Well, you can already see, no, that Jesus came to the churches, to his own. But the churches, his own, they didn't have a receptive thought, mind. You just really can, we can hear the life is mind tone. He came and there was no reception, the opposite of mind. Jesus once said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed is a sense thereof. All right, the Christ reveals, huh? Yes, it comes to the mind of Christ, but that modus operandi which is revealing is the Christ. Huh? Remember, that's that same sense of reveal we had before, that which reveals is always that Christ behind making science reveal. So it says that revealed it unto babes. What would babes be? The receptive thought. Yeah. So the babes then are the receptive thought. They're that which is that are going to receive it. So we color that in our color for mind. That's already we're hearing tonality. What does babes have to do with mind? You see, but you can hear that babes have to do with mind because babes are receptive. So already we're not doing a wordy sense of text interpretation, are we? Because I don't remember concept building on babes in the compendium. Do you?
No.
So already we see that it's not a wordy sense that interprets it, but it is a tonality sense.